the good news of Christmas, and when we can see the sparkle, there it comes. My message is from Luke 2:10, and the angel said unto them, the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Just a short devotional guide to thinking about all this. Notice the words, "Fear not, for look." This is the word "behold," just means to see. Look at this. I good message you. I evangelize you with great joy. Interesting concept. Very often in the face of the supernatural, and the angels appeared as a supernatural being, a thing that looked human but were glowing and so on. People fear when they're in the presence of the supernatural. Notice it's funny in the stories on TV where they're seeing something supernatural and they're going, "Oh, neat, how about that?" No, you'd be afraid. It's just not normal. It's just something that is out of control. So very often, the angel says, "Fear not." In this case, I haven't come to cast you into a pit. I have come to give you good news. So let's notice four things about this. The message of Christmas. Number one, glad tidings instead of fearful tidings. Fear not, he says. Fear not. So this is the message then of salvation instead of judgment. This is the offer of salvation instead of the statement of judgment against you. And then it is bringing a Savior instead of bringing punishment. And so the offer of a Savior, the Savior is here, the Savior can work, and he is offering you that salvation. The second thing we notice in this passage is that the self-evident blessing instead of secret promises. So many of the cults are all about secret things. We will tell you the secret knowledge. We will give you the secret abilities. And no, he says, "For behold," I want you to see this. I want you to recognize this. I want you to perceive this. So behold what? The messengers. Here are supernatural beings that have come to share this message with you. And then, of course, the message itself, behold the Savior. Behold the Savior. So self-evident. It's right here. I'm going to tell you how to get there, how to see him. And this is the difference between the way God works and the way men work. The third thing I noticed is it's joyful news instead of burdensome news. For he says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Good tidings is another translation of to gospelize, to evangelize, to spread the euangelion, to spread the gospel. "I bring you good tidings of great joy." If there's a distinction being drawn here, I think it is, first of all, that the law was good in that it showed the character of God, but it was showing how that character is lost on man. The law was good, but it was burdensome. It gave no power to accomplish what it asked, what it demanded. Now we find that the gospel, this good news, releases the burden, saying, "I will pay the price. Christ the Savior will pay what you owe." We come then to the fourth one, and that is it's universal information instead of restricted information. It's not just for the few, not just for the, as they say today, the elect. That God will choose who he wants to choose, and then nobody else has a chance. Which shall be to all people. It's pretty hard to believe that God makes the choice and man doesn't when he says this will be to all people. Old John Gill, dyed in the wool, hyper-Calvinist, he had to say, now, of course, it wasn't for all people. It wasn't for Herod. It wasn't for that. No, it was for him. It was for him. All the work would be done. It was all set in front of him. But it was up to him to choose or not, which shall be to all people. So you see, the message was for Jews and Gentiles, not just Jews. And the message was for natives, people who lived in this area, and foreigners. That's certainly implied by all people, all people. And to emphasize this, let me just share with you some verses. Luke 12:8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Christ is saying this. He says, I have come to offer you salvation. I am come to lure you to myself. You wouldn't come on your own. But as I draw you, as I explain things to you, as I open your heart and thinking, you can come to that place where you may choose. And whosoever shall confess, who will choose to call me who I am. John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We gain a life that is unending, like the artesian well, not a well that you just take enough life out of it and it's ended, but the artesian well that springs up everlasting water, everlasting life. And this is for whosoever drinketh, whosoever chooses to drink it. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Here the book of Acts, they're preaching the gospel to the world. And the message is that through his name, there's only one way to God, but through his name, whosoever believeth in him. And that's the choice. That's the option. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. This would be the perfect place to say only those who are elect of God. The others don't have a chance. But that's not what they say. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. In other words, bid people to come to Jesus. And let him that is athirst come. A lady came to me and asked, why does it say, let him that's an atheist thirst? No, it's a thirst. We don't usually say that, but. And whosoever will. That means you. That means me. It means any of us. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So it's up to you. He provides the water of life. He paid for it. He offers it. So I have to ask you this question then tonight on Christmas Eve. Have you accepted, have you welcomed the good news? Have you received it to yourself? Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Not the fact that he just existed, that's true, of course. Not just that he was a historical figure, but that he came to offer you salvation. You, whosoever will. Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Wonderful to grow up in a Christian home, but that doesn't give you salvation. I had an interesting call that I answered today from a fellow that came to Open Door in the 70s. Wasn't sure if I was there yet. He was too little to remember these things, but he remembered Open Door Baptist Church. So he called. He's living in Oregon, moved down to Alabama and over to elsewhere. but became a rationalist, became an atheist, had a philosophy major in college. Deadly, deadly, deadly. And, you know, wanted to think rationally and scientifically and all that. He said, but then I'm turning back to God. He says, I really feel like I ought to get baptized, but I can't find a good church here. And it is kind of hard out there. Brother Jeb was out there trying to look for a church to preach to. And there weren't many. So we have the opportunity to meet him next Sunday, Lord willing, and everything comes together. He'll be in, because his parents moved back to Indianapolis, so he'll be here for the holidays. And so perhaps the deacons and I can sit down with him briefly and just share his testimony. He said, now, I haven't been able to do much advanced study and so on. I said, well, we're not trying to ordain you. We just wanted to ask here if you receive Christ. What is your experience? So we'll have that opportunity because he wants to get baptized. And if it's clear that he's a Christian, perhaps we can baptize him the next Sunday. All the deacons go, oh, man, a lot of work during a Christmas time. But what an opportunity, so we'll take that. But, you know, the question is not did you figure it out logically, did you come to this place where you can prove it in your thinking, but did you accept, did you welcome the good news and accept Christ as your Savior?